Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Your presence among us is such a wonderful thing, knowing, Father, that you said you would not leave us nor forsake us. And, Father, that your pillar of fire would lead us to the millennium. Believing, Father, you're still here leading. And yet we see the whole world in lockdown, Father, but yet we know that we're not locked down, we're sealed in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we're thankful for that, and we realize, Lord, we're in the windup. So, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before we go into the sermon this morning, I just want to show you the condition right now of the world. And perhaps, Brother Josh, if you could kind of zoom in on this picture here. Let me just blow this up a little bit. This is the current world condition, the lockdown condition, COVID-19. Now, this, to me, it's a real virus, but it's politically being used to bring in Agenda 21. If you're not familiar with Agenda 21, they want to depopulate the world down to 500 million people. And they want to control everything you do. They want to control thought, everything. And I sent out this week a letter from Cardinal Vigano, who I've read a couple of his letters, previous his services to you. And he was explaining this whole thing about a reset. It's going to be, the central banks are busted. I mean, they're in the trillions and in almost quadrillions of debt. So there's a crisis around the world, and the central banks need a way out. They thought if Hillary had gotten in, there would be a war, and then they could blame the war for everything falling apart, and then we'd go through a rebuilding again. That's not the case. So they had this thing come out of the Wuhan lab, which was actually started in the U.S. here, and no, it wasn't Oregon. It was actually the level 4 factory, bioweapons factory, was not Fort Bragg, it's the other one, Fort Detrick, and in 2015 they had to shut it down. They said this is Congress or somebody got a hold of it and said no, you can't do this anymore. So they shut it down. But then this Fauci fella, he sent the woman that was in charge of the program over to Wuhan. She went to the Wuhan lab. He gave her, it was either $3.5 or $3.8 million to continue the work. And basically what they did was they spliced together three viruses. The common cold virus, which is corona, SARS, which they call SARS-2 now, and the SARS is a very respiratory disease, and then two elements of HIV, which is to take down your immune system so that this thing can be more effective and they can have second waves, third waves, whatever. All right, this is their plan. But this is not, as far as its real death toll, all the numbers are fake. I mean, I've got information I'm going to show you today in the sermon this morning it's not fake, but what they're doing is if you die of a cold or if you die of pneumonia, if you die of a respiratory disease, if you die of heart attack, it was considered by the CDC COVID. All right? Like Brother Peter's son-in-law, his aunt in El Salvador, she died of, was it diabetes? And they tested her for COVID. She was negative. They put it down as COVID anyway, and they ended up burying her in the back of a cemetery. It's just total disgraceful what they're doing to people around the world. Now, this map, as you see, the ones in red are in full lockdown. The ones in orange are partial lockdown, and then the ones in green are not. And then I have below here, you'll see the United States. The ones in white are no lockdown at all, nothing. The ones in yellow are partial lockdown, and the ones in red are full lockdown. And, you can't, I mean, they just control your life. So this is all about control. It's not about a virus. If it was about a virus, they wouldn't suggest that you wear these stupid masks that don't help you. Like the doctors are telling us that, the mask, has anybody ever studied virology or looked into it? I have, Peter has, some others. All right, has anybody ever been into a level 1 facility. Okay, level one is basically it's called a clean facility, and you have to gown up, you have to face mask, you have to wear stuff over your shoes or take shoes off and wear these little socking things. And you go in there, you can't have any hair showing or anything. And you go in there, and it's for level one. Well, that's for like computer components and things like that. But level four is where you get into viruses, and viruses are 50 times smaller than a bacteria. And you can't see a bacteria with your eyeball. Now you can see, maybe you might be able, if you have really good eyes, see a single cell amoeba. But that's made up of literally thousands. So, but a virus on the back of a bacteria is like a man on the back of a beluga whale. All right, which a beluga whale, I mean, you get those whales that are 100 feet long, a sperm whale, you know, you look like a little flick on it, you know, a flea. So a virus is very, very small. Those masks that you're wearing is only for show. This is all theater going on, all right? And the theater is because they want to reset the economy because they're going busted. And we know that President Trump is aware of this, and I've got a film I can show in between today's services. I can show you. It's called Game Over. But it's where the world has been setting up this thing to control. And they thought, well, if we're going to change the economy, we're going to change everything. We're going to change the culture. We're going to change the way that your families can't get together. You know, in some states in the United States here, you can't get together with more than two. You know, if you have, say, three kids and each of them has a family, you're not allowed to get together with more than one of your children and their family. All right? California. I forget what the other state was, but there's another state as well. I think it's Illinois. I might not be sure on that. But I know California for certain. Christmas time. You're not allowed to have Christmas time. You're not allowed to send Christmas gifts to the children's hospitals. Even, I think, this one, they do the same thing this one. It's just that. You're not allowed to send, you know, if you get a child that's there, maybe for 20, 30 days, you know, because he's going through a therapy or something like that, you're not allowed to send them presents. But, hey, we have presents that you can buy. From our little store, it's all about control. That's all. So we have to decide ourselves, are we going to be controlled by men, or are we going to be controlled by God and His Word? God and His Word promises life eternal, man promises death. That's it. And so you can see the different things here. And so let's move on to the service now. And from the unveiling of God, this will be number 171, A Seed for Every Seed in Part 3. Vindication of the seed life. Now, it's not going to be a long service, but it's going to be kind of, there's going to be some detail in it. But this evening, it'll be a little bit longer, a few more pages. This has 18 pages to it, but it's kind of recapping where we've come through and then going into the next in the final. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been looking at A Seed for Every Season, in which Brother Brown said in his sermon, God's only provided a place of worship. He quotes 1 Corinthians, and then he says, by one Spirit of God, which is the life giver of the word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. See? So we see there's a seed for every season, and we examine how that we would know the seed for each season, because it would be a seed that will manifest the word for that season. And before I forget, because he just reminded me of something, but when I was in Minnesota, and I was talking to one of the families up there, the Morris family. We were up there preaching for Brother Don a few weeks ago. But Minnesota's already locked down. You can't have, like we have, there's a family up there, the Morris family. They have two boys and a girl, and each of them has several children. And they're not allowed to have, you know, for the past umpteen years since the kids have been married, they've been having Thursday nights have kind of been family night. And so all the families come over, and they have, you know, dinner at their house. They're not allowed to do that anymore. They can have one, so they have to rotate which one's going to come this week, which is coming next week, which is coming in. So the kids won't even be able to see grandma and grandpa for a month until it's their turn to rotate. Now, Brother Don, his church has now been allowed to all of them meet together. They have about 50, you know, people, maybe 60 sometimes. And they're not allowed to meet all at one time. So they have to split up. This week, this group over here can come, and then next week this group over here can come. And so they're not even allowed because of the restrictions. It's just total tyranny. Total tyranny. That's where we're at. We are in the squeeze. There is no doubt. This is the squeeze. This is the pressure. You know, 2 Timothy 4. Know this, that at the end time, it will be times of perilous times. Hard to deal with. Hard to bear. That's where we're at. So turn your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to show you today how important it is to not be carnally focused, but to be spiritually minded. All right? So he says, Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. So we see there's a seed for every season, and we examine how that we would know the seed for each season, because it would be a seed that will manifest the word for that season. We gave some examples like Noah, the fact that he not only heard the message for that season, but he also recognized that it was indeed the word for that season, and in recognizing it, he then acted upon that word, vindicating he indeed was the seed for his season. So we listed as point number one, there is a seed for every season. Then we needed to understand how that seed will vindicate itself in the season, and we heard Brother Branham tell us, the Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. Then we came to point number two, God sends forth His Spirit in order to quicken the seed. Another thought just came, and I forgive me, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham did tell Brother Vail. Brother Vail told me that Brother Branham said at the end time, he said Ohio would be one of the safest places to be, and apparently it is, because all the other states that can't have church, or if they do, it's very limited. We've been very blessed to be able to have service regular. So, all right. Now, we showed by Scripture it is the Holy Spirit that quickens the Word of God in the believer. Now, this can be also found also in the Scripture in Romans 8 and 10, where the Apostle Paul says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So if there isn't a quickening taking place, which means it coming alive to His Spirit, to the things of the Spirit, then He's not in you. If He's not in you, then you're reprobate. I'm sorry. But that's the analysis of the Word. We read this from Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we ask the question, how does He perform it? And Romans 11 tells us, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's God doing it, because if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And the word quicken means to make alive, to bring into manifestation. Manifestation of what? The life in the seed. The nature in the seed. Look, we are at a very, very late hour. And if you have not completely surrendered to Spirit, and you're still focusing on clothing and, you know, do I got the right car? Do I got the right clothing on? Do I got this and that? You're out of it. I'm sorry. You're just spiritually, you're sleeping or you're dead. If you are not focused on Christ and His life, then you're just shallow, really shallow as a Christian. And you know, there's nobody that follows the prophet's message should be in that condition. Absolutely should not be. You should have woken up a long, long time ago. It's too late to be fussing about little stupid little stuff that doesn't have anything to do with following the pillar of fire in this hour. Okay? So how does God's Spirit bear witness with our spirit? Notice he says, the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So how does God's Spirit bear with our spirit? Bear witness to our spirit? Because our actions manifest the nature of His Spirit, His life, which manifests His nature. And that's exactly what William Branham said when he said, my actions and the vindication of God's Word in my life. What's that vindication of God's Word? In other words, Father shows me, I do. Father shows me, I do. Father gives me the will, and then He shows me how to do. I receive the will, and I do what He does. All right? My action and the vindication of God's Word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. If you are not in the process of manifesting as a son of God, you're not a son of God. I'm sorry. It's too late of an hour. This is the hour that the seed must manifest itself as sons of God. If they don't, then you're not sons of God. That's look, we already proved by this series that the seed, there's a seed for every seed, and Brother Branham said it. We've shown you where he said it. That the evidence that that seed is seed of God is that it will manifest the seed for the season. It'll manifest the doctrine of the hour. You can talk all you want about God had a son and he has sons and all that. But if your life doesn't reflect that life of Christ in you, you're not a son. You're just a good well-wisher of the truth, but you're not a son of God. I'm sorry. And those are strong words, but you know, I hate to say them, but it's time to wake up. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Stop all this living for the day and start living for Christ. We're in the midst of moving from the shout, which is the message, into the voice of the resurrection. And I'm sorry, but if you're not aware, it's going to go right past you and you're not going to be there. You're focused on this, or you're focused on that, or you're focused on clothing, or you're focused on cars, or you're focused on... Stop it! It's time to get real. It's time to... The world is in a big squeeze right now. Brother Van Paul taught us that squeeze, and he said, when the squeeze comes, he said, you watch the Council of Churches. You know, the Cardinal Vigano, he's trying to get all the Christian churches now to come against this communistic overthrow. Doesn't realize that his own Pope, he does realize it, but his own Pope is a communist. He's pushing LGBTism. He's pushing all these New World Order isms. And so isn't it interesting that you've got the papacy is pushing this communism, and yet Brother Branham and Brother Peter sent me the quote this week, that the Christians will cry to gather together to fight it. And it'll join the Christians with the Catholics. Because you've got Catholics for it, Catholics against it. Many more of them than there are of us. There's 1.2 billion Catholics, and there's 1.5 billion so-called Christians. We're at the end time. We are at the end time. Therefore, Paul said in Romans 8:16, if we are children of God, then God's Spirit, God's life, and God's own nature will bear witness with our spirit and our life and our nature that we are His children. Because after all, He promised in Philippians 2:13, for it is God working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. That is why, Brother Branham said, my action and the vindication of God's Word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Now, Brother Brown tells us in a sermon on recognized presence, he says why God's presence is here. He says, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. If He is present, then everything is settled. He made the Word. He is here to confirm it. And then he said, if we could realize that He is appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in Him back to us, but we've got to recognize His presence. Now, that brought us to point number three, where When the seed manifests who it is, this manifestation of the seed vindicates that this seed was indeed for this season. In Psalm 106 we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the people that, you know, that's, you know, the mourner bench will have no place at all, you know. The scornful. What does it mean to be scornful? You're always criticizing. You're always critical of people. It's time that you wake up. You're not going to make the rapture if you don't wake up and just stop it. Because when you are focused on somebody else's vessel, even in your own vessel, like, oh, how do I look? You're carnal. And you're carnal focused. And we're going to show you, if you're carnal focused, I'm sorry, you can't please God. Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Torah of the Lord, which means the Father's teachings. And in his law, in his Torah, in his Father's teachings, doth he meditate day and night. Are you meditating day and night? Are you so consumed by the Father's teaching that it's a joy, it's a pleasure, it's your life? Or are you still scrapping around in the mud of this world and trying to figure out how you can make things a little bit better for you while you're here? And what were the Father's teachings? And of course, teaching is doctrine. That is one definition of the word doctrine. And what will the Father's doctrine produce? Now remember, the doctrine first is the teaching rain, and then the harvest rain, the fruit comes to maturity. So what does it produce? It produces sons. Father's teaching produces sons, obedient sons. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His life also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The ungodly are so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Notice a comparison now. He's comparing the sons of God, the righteous, the rightly wise, who follow the Father's teaching, who meditate day and night upon the Father's teaching. They're spiritual. They're spiritual minded. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. What's this other? They're carnal minded. They're so focused on, are these shoes right? Do you got the right belt with your pants? Do you have Brother Branham wore white pants and dark top. I mean, his pants didn't even match his suit half the time. He didn't care. Why should you? Why should you? A man that marries a woman because of her looks and not doesn't look into her heart to see what condition she's in, he's going to get a bad wife. God is not here to look at your looks. He's a God of variety. He's got hundreds of thousands of different flowered plants, tares and wheat and everything else. But he created them. And the scripture says, all souls are mine. All souls belong to God. And he creates them, everyone, different. There's not a one of us that has the same thumbprint. Not a one of us that has the same ear definitions. Not one of us has the same retinal scan. We're different, as the stars are different from one another. When you try to cookie cutter and put everybody into a box and say everybody should look this way or that way or act this way or that way, you're carnal. You're just carnal people. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The ungodly are not so. They're not like those that produce fruit in season. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the rightly wise. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord, yada, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous with an active participation, which means that he's involved. It's ginosko. It's an active knowledge. It's a participatory knowledge. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and that word is abad, and it means to be left to themselves. He just leaves them to themselves. Then last week we looked at point number 4. This manifestation of the seed life is being quickened by the word for the season. Let me say that again. The manifestation of the seed life. Are you sons of God? Amen? The manifestation of the sons of God, the seed life, is being quickened by the word for the season. And that is the evidence that the seed is God's seed. The fact that you're responding to Son of God revelation, doctrine of Christ, the fact that you're responding to it and becoming conformed to the image of the firstborn son shows you are the seed for the season. You are the seed for Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, 3 to 5. Predestinate to the adoption of children. So, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The light is a message. It's come into the world. But you know what? Let's fill up our mind with everything else. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth What is truth? What is revelation? Manifestation of what? Divine truth. He that doeth truth, he that manifests truth, he that has the revelation, comes to the light. That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, notice the characteristics of the non-seed. They fall away. They're left to themselves. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, only one faith, one Lord, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. You see, you've got twins all the way down to the end, twins. You've got the righteous and the unrighteous. The godly, which means godlike, and those that are ungodly or unlike God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-10, And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There you go. In flaming fire. There you go. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice, from the presence of the Lord. Driven out from the presence of the Lord. What happened to Cain? Driven out from the presence of the Lord. When he shall come to be glorified, endoxazo, In the Zoe, the doxa will magnify in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, we'll only believe what Paul preached, his testimony. As William Branham said, I'm only teaching what Paul taught. See? Now, let's look at the present versus non-present. Chapter 2, verse 3, and then 10-13. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, during that cruising time, that you be soon not shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by a word, nor by a letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, unrightwiseness in them that are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this, what caused them to perish? Unrightwiseness. You see, if light is life, then darkness is death. Right? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Brother Ram said that should be the lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrightwiseness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So you should be focused on only two things right now. The Word, and is my Spirit matching up with it? That's it. Now remember, we began this mini-series on the seed for the season after reading a statement that William Branham made in the Unveiling of God, where he said, by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is the life-giver to the Word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for the season. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't understand the things of God. Therefore, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Spirit is not giving you life to vindicate you as the seed for that season. Now, he said, further, it takes the Holy Spirit to make that seed come to life. But by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, and that body is a family. It's a family of God. My family, gathered in there under the blood. My children, born of my genes. My genes are in them. I put my Word in them. And if you were baptized in water, right, and then deny the Word, then you're illegitimate. Your birth wasn't correct. You claim that you believed Him then, and you deny Him. A blood test on the door shows it. And finally, he culminated his thought here by saying, my actions and the vindication or manifestation of God's Word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Now, there's God's only place. See it? The only place that God will receive your sacrifice, and I don't care how sincere you are, it's in Christ. Now, that was quite a dynamic statement, because what he is telling you here, that no matter what you claim to believe, if it does not show in your life, if there is no manifestation of His Word for the season in your life, then you do not have God life. But your new birth has only been a corruptible type. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Two seeds, corruptible, incorruptible. Now notice this word incorruptible was translated from the Greek word atharthos, which means something that is not able to decay or perish. And the root word, thero, which means a destroying by means of corrupting, in other words, death, doomed, being brought into an inferior or worse condition, and refers to the withdrawal of life. But the word incorruptible that we see here is a Greek word apthartos, which basically, it means just the opposite, something that cannot perish or decay. A condition where we are coming into the glorified body, and Paul says it's incorruptible seed will bring us to the place of glory, honor, and life. And so far, we've taken four points in our message to you, but from these statements Brother Brown made. Number one, there's a seed for a season. There's a seed for every season. We saw that a seed is a carrier of life, and it speaks of predestination because everything that seed will ever manifest in its life cycle is already in it. Every attribute, every characteristic, every expression. That is why a seed is the purest form of predestination. We read in Mark 4:14 that the seed that the sower sowed was the Word of God. And then also in Luke 8, in verse 11, that Jesus told us that the Word of God is the seed that the Son of Man sowed. And we see in John 1:1-4 that the Word of God is God, and therefore the seed is God's life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And of course, John goes on to quote from Genesis 1 and 3, and the light shineth in darkness. When God spoke the first time, there was all darkness, and did God speak, and the light came forth, the life of God, the Logos, the Son of God. All right? And the light shineth in darkness. And then to bring it up to date, he says, and the darkness comprehended it not. So let's focus on what he's saying here in verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. Did you get that? He said, the darkness does not comprehend it. Did you ever ask yourself why? Because the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 that unless you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand the things of God. And if you cannot understand it, then you cannot comprehend the things of God. And the word for comprehend was translated from the Greek word katalambano, which means to take eagerly, to seize upon and possess, to apprehend and comprehend. So we're talking about life, and it says that darkness will not seize upon it. They won't apprehend it. Because that is what it all boils down to. God is the Word, and if you reject His Word, you reject Him. And if you reject Him and you reject God's life, and they do it to themselves, and there's no one else to blame. You could share with some of these, and listen, I've got family members, brothers and sisters. Some of them are very open to the things that we have to say. And others are just, you know, they just see through the TV darkly. You know, like the Bible says, you see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Well, they see through their TV, and their mind is whatever they're told on TV, that's what they get. Whatever the BBC or whatever the CNN or whatever MSNBC, you know, that's what they believe. And they're lost. That's sad. But that's the way it is. Now, always remember this. Whenever this Bible speaks of a Bible principle, it will always speak of it in terms of twins. There's Cain and Abel. Blessings and cursing. Life and death. And here in the book of John, as well as in 1 Peter, we see life and death, twins. Children of light seek life. All others seek death. Because to turn down light and life is to accept death and darkness. In the book of John, we see on the one hand children of the light coming to the light, but on the other hand, we see children of darkness fleeing from the light. It's uncomfortable. They don't want to hear it. They stop their ears. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 63 to 66. And I want you to notice before we read that in verse 63, we will hear Jesus speaking to them that His Word is life. But watch what John reveals to us in verse 64 to 66. Now, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, you can stop right there and just say, okay, listen, them that are sons of God are led by the, what? Spirit of God. Not like the Catholic Church where you're led by the ups and downs of genuflecting and ups and down, and you got the sensory, you know, they want to get your senses filled up with the aroma of the incense, which I always hated. And all the things that are physical, you know, all the silver altars and the gold and the pomp and all the ceremony and the garments and the fish's head, you know, on their for the hat, and the white garments with all the gold lace and everything. Sensory, carnality. Like a lot of women when they're focused on clothing, focused on your belt doesn't match your tie, your glasses, I don't like your glasses, I don't like your shoes, I don't like this and that. So what? I don't care. And honestly, opinions that focus on that, I don't care. I'm focused on one thing. Am I obedient to my Father? That's it, period. Not whether I'm obedient to you or your likes or your dislikes. I don't care about that. It's about time. Look, I'm not saying this to push you back. Brother Vail was good at that. I try not to, if I can help. But the fact is, I'm not interested. I'm interested in having a relationship with Him. I'm interested in an Enoch walk. One man with one God. If my family comes along, praise the Lord for it. If they don't, I'm not going to beat them into it. If they're so, if they want to focus on the carnal things, you're never going to be in a rapture. I'm sorry, you just won't be there. It's about time you start shaping up. I'm serious about that. This hour, brother, sister, the whole world is in lockdown, and you're still focused on whether you got the right clothes or whether you got the right car or whether you got the right purse or what. Forget it. Nothing wrong to have a purse, you know. There's nothing wrong with having the right clothing, but if that's your focus in life, then you're just shallow. You need to be born again. Let that sink in. I know you're going to say, well, ooh, that's mean. Listen, that's the Word of God. Take it or leave it. But there are some that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given of him of my Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Oh, he got tough. He said, my words are spirit, they're life. Oh, we don't want to hear that. He said, I don't care. Peter came and said, well, Lord, where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, well, yeah, that's fine, but you know what? One of you is a devil. He said, oh, you know, oh man, I hate to see them all leave. No. Can I get any more to leave? Notice how that just after He informed them, eternal life is His word, and we are told from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Now, how is this possible except for what Jesus said? You just won't be able to follow Me and take it all unless you are ordained of God to do so. So we see, as Peter said, some are ordained to life while others are ordained to condemnation. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now notice, those who are ordained to life can't help but believe and receive the word of life for the day in which they live. The rain for the season, the doctrine for the season. In Jude 1:4 we read, for there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word condemnation here comes from the Greek word, root word, krino, which means to be separated from, and which is a negative, in a negative sense, is the judgment passed down from a judge. So the judgment passed down from a judge, and it separates them out. 1 Corinthians 11:29-30, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, we'll be reading that scripture tonight. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Notice the effect of the judgment. Many are weak and sickly among you. Why? They can't take it. Away with the word. We don't want it. Okay, go ahead and die in your sins. We see here that what we saw in 1 Peter 1:23, that the corruptible seed is one that has no life in it, or what life it did have is in the process of leaving it. Like it says in Psalm 1 concerning the elect, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither. You could also say his life shall not also wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So we see the non-elect are like chaff which the wind drives away. And what life they did have will wither like a leaf, and their fruit will rot. That is the same way with sickness and death. As the light leaves the body, so does the life. As the body becomes weakened, showing very little health, therefore sickness and death take over the body, because that sickness and death is already in you. Did you know that? Those little bugs and viruses and even skin worms, as Job said, though the skin worms devour my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. It's all already in you through the fruits and the vegetables and everything you've eaten. All those germs are there. But if you've got light in you, you've got vitality, and you can ward off all that death. When the strength of life, which is called vigor, it leaves the body, then weakness sets in, followed quickly by sickness and death. That's why so many people died of the coronavirus. Most of them were over 70 years old. In fact, 80, 85, the greatest number. They were living on their last light, and the other three lights of life had dimmed out. So in weakness, they succumbed to the disease and death. Many of them, 94%, had 2.5 other morbidities. That means that they were already dying. The CDC reported that 91,153 died of pneumonia and influenza. Oh, influenza? I thought the flu, that's influenza. I thought the flu was down by 98%. Oh, yeah, if you call it COVID. You see? 91,000 of the so-called coronaviruses were actually people that died from the flu and from pneumonia. These are their statistics posted on October 24th. That's the latest posting. 18,421 died of chronic lower respiratory disease. 26,365 died from adult chronic respiratory distress syndrome. 44,000 patients died from hypertensive disease. 23,275 died from ischemic heart disease. 24,845 died from cardiac arrest, that's heart attack. 13,107 died from cardiac arrhythmia, that's irregular beat. 13,662 died from heart failure. 10,107 died from cerebral vascular disease, which is a disease of your arterial, you know, your arteries and things. 11,731 died from other diseases of the circulatory system. 19,225 died from sepsis, because they went to the hospital and somebody that didn't clean their fingernails and they opened you up and they put their hands in there, or they treated you in some way, you got the germs from the hospital. And let's face it, on the annual average, like 2.2 or 2.4 million people die. And medical-induced deaths from sepsis and from hospital diseases and from mistakes by the nurse, or mistakes mostly by the doctors, like the guy who was operating somebody and he's on the telephone ordering his Porsche. Heart disease is the number one killer. Number two is your old doctors are killing you. I don't understand this Hippocratic oath. I think it's a hypocritical oath, because they should be standing up against the government right now and against the AMA and all these other organizations saying, we're not going to follow your dictates. But you know what? They'd lose their paycheck. How many people, because of fear of losing their paycheck, compromise with the truth? $13,107 died from arrhythmia. $13,662 heart failure. 10,107 died from Cerebrovascular disease, 11,731 died from other diseases of the circulatory system, 19,225 died of sepsis, 9,539 died from malignant neoplasms, 33,603 died from diabetes, 7,700 died from obesity, 7,400 died from Alzheimer's disease, 22,874 died from vascular disease, again, this is your blood system, and unspecified dementia, strokes, things like that. 18,379 died from renal failure. 7,096 died from intentional and unintentional injury, poisoning, and other adverse effects. And when you close up society, you're going to see that number is going to go way up. Suicide. All right. Now, here are the tables. The conditions, this is from the CDC. These are the table three conditions contributing to deaths involving coronavirus disease 2019 by age group. United States, week ending 10-24-20. All right? Now, here is the top posting is how many people? 226, okay, died of COVID-19. And here are the... Anybody not know what an ICD-10 is? An ICD-10 is the chart, you know, if you're every person that goes in, they have an illness or whatever, they have to mark the attributes of what that disease is, and they look up in the chart, oh, that's this, so they give it a code number, all right? So the code number for respiratory diseases, I took out all the codes, by the way, on this chart just to get it on the page for you. But you can look it up yourself, and if you'd like, I'll send you this link, or just go to the CDC and look for morbidity, COVID morbidity, whatever. And you'll find it. But anyway, you have all these different ICD-9 or ICD-10 CPT codes, all right? And what these are for is for payment from the hospital or payment to the hospital from the insurance company, okay? They're just insurance so they can tell, okay, this thing deserves this. And so what they did, the person's got COVID, we'll give them an extra... Some say it's 20%, some say it's 20,000 more. So they get more money if they die of COVID. So let's just list everything COVID. Oh, you come in with a motorcycle accident? COVID. Die of diabetes? COVID. Die of just because you're too fat? COVID. All right, influenza pneumonia, 91,000. Chronic lower respiratory, 18,421. Adult respiratory, 27,000. Respiratory failure, 73,000. Respiratory arrest, 4,200. Others, 7,996. Again, hypertensive diseases, 45,000. Ischemic heart disease, 24. You can see how the chart goes. All right. Now, if you look at the other part of this chart, going to the side here, age group. All right. You look at the age group. All right. 24 years old, only 156. But 85 years old and older, 24,471. 84 years, 24,359. 74 years, 21,000. 64 years and up, 12,000. 54 years, 5,390, whatever. So, if you just follow the chart, you'll see, look, when you've been, you're given four lights at birth, Brother Ram taught us that. 25 years old, you're down to three. What happens? You start getting things going wrong with you. 26, my hair started falling out. All right, things like that. You reach 50 years old, the second light goes out. You're living on two lights, half of the energy, half of the vitality you had before. What does that mean? That means if you don't keep yourself physically fit, get on the treadmill and do exercise every day to keep your immune system up and your body flowing, your heart flowing, so that the blood will actually take what you eat and bring it to the different parts of the body to help build it up. So you just get lazy and you get sedentary and you put your feet up and you do, you're going to get fat and you're going to die. And you're gonna and already the diseases that are in the body but are being held down by the immune system. Well, when the immune system goes down, those things rise up. That's as simple as it is. When the churches quit preaching the gospel, when they took Christ out the churches, the gospel out of the churches, guess what? He also left the schools. He also left government. He also left the courthouses. He also left medical industry. In other words, it's just a systemic death taking place. So you see the numbers. You see how packed they are from about 55 and up. And then Brother Ram said, when you get to 75, you're down to your last light. That's why most people die after that. Why? Within 5-6 years of that, I think men is 79, women is 81 or something like that, or 83. You're living on your last light. If you don't keep yourself physically fit and spiritually fit, because the same goes with the spirit. And I believe the more word you have, the more godly you live in Christ Jesus, the longer that light will stay bright. Look at Brother Vail, 97 years old. 97. Brother Collins, 92. Unless something takes you out, like an accident, in which God said, William Brown, it's time to go home. You've done your job. I'll let you rest until it's time to come back in the resurrection. Okay? Now, I do not believe for 1 minute that the Apostle Paul was only speaking of sickness and death in the physical sense here. I believe the local body was very sick, and even spiritually death had set in, because they would not take matters into their own hands and judge the boy who was sleeping with his father's wife. And so this local body was being affected by spiritual sickness and even spiritual death among them, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, so we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That, notice, life swallowing up mortality. What's mortality? Ability to die. But mortality, ability to die, being swallowed up by the gospel, by the light. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, that say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, holds us back, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that the which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him so no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us this ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God himself. Now remember, Brother Bram said that if there is a seed for every season, he said there is, And we also saw that God will cause His light, which is His Word, to quicken the seed that is meant for the season. Number two, God sends forth His Spirit to quicken the seed. Number three, when this seed manifests who it is, then manifestation of the seed vindicates that this seed was indeed for the season. And number four, which we hit today, was this manifestation of the seed life by being quickened by the word for the season is the evidence of the vindication that the seed is God's seed. Now, this evening, after for our communion service, we're going to go in and show you now the seed for the season and the seed that's not for the season. And we're going to do a comparative and show you the attributes of the seed of God that are for the season and the attributes that are not for the season. And you will manifest either you are seed for the season or not for the season. And we're also going to show you that if you are so carnally focused, carnally minded, it's not pleasing to God. And what does it mean to be carnally minded? You're focused on things. Yeah, I guess his shirt and his pants and his tie will match. That's fine. You're okay, Steve. You did fine. Don, you got a little red in your tie. Yeah, you did good. You know. So I won't pick on anybody that doesn't have a tie that matches. But you know what I'm saying? That's just carnality. And if you're focused on that stuff, you're not focused on the Spirit of Christ. I'm sorry. If you're focused on somebody else, their vessel, you're not focused on your own vessel being lined up with Him, then you're not in the midst of being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. What do I care if... No, I won't say it this way because it doesn't sound good. But what should you care if so-and-so is conformed or not? You should be looking at your own, at the mirror of the Word, at yourself. Am I conformed or not? Is my attitude right with God or not? Don't compare me with Brother Collins. Don't compare me with Brother Brown. I'm not Brother Collins. I'm not Brother Brown. I notice they never compare me with Brother Vail when they want to make me stand, you know, proper and everything else. Because he lets you know he's not going to go by what you think. He's going to stand for the truth, and that's it, and that's the way I am. I'm focused on one thing, not pleasing you. Sorry. I'm standing on here. I'm standing with a worldwide ministry to please God. Amen. And hopefully you all do the same. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I know, Father, our words sometimes can be hard and sometimes they're not so hard. And I'm more scared of the words that are not so hard because then the people get the wrong attitude, the wrong idea. But when the words are hard, Lord, they usually hit the nail on the head. And if it hurts when we hear it, then there's something wrong with us that hear it. And we should examine, why is this hurting? Why is this bothering me? And then if we'd be any otherwise minded, you promised that you'd reveal it to us. And if it's not revealed to us, then I'd get on my knees and say, Lord, you promised to reveal it to me. Open my heart, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song. Open my eyes that I might see. Let's see here. Number 69, and I think it's very appropriate because we need our eyes open. This is the hour the world is falling apart. Number 69. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp God set me free. That's your Bible. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes.